Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Father. If you can, be seated for a moment. Maybe we should begin from the book of Psalms. Psalm 102, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord shall build up Zion, and then he shall appear in his glory." The Lord shall build up Zion, and then he shall appear in his glory. In the realm of the spirit, what spirits do is to build civilizations. The reason is because in the context of a civilization, their glory can be revealed. Without a functional civilization, the glory of a spirit will be shrouded. And so every time a spirit wants to do the business of glory, he begins to build. And God is the originator of this reality. And so when you find God moving, it's because he wants to build again. The reason is because most times when God builds, what he does is that he raises functionaries, because his kingdom is a kingdom of kings and kings. And so the only way the functionaries that exist in his kingdom can participate in the economy of the divine is to give them the opportunity to experience what rulership is. And so what God does is that when he builds a civilization, he allows those functionaries to partake of it. But most times, these functionaries fail to understand that the authority that was bequeathed them as a means for expressing and administering the glory. In the course of advancing that civilization, only God should be seen. Yes, the moment God becomes obscured, that civilization is no longer necessary. You know, when the first earth was created, a prince was summoned to rule over the earth. He said in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the same story. It's a reality that began from eternity past, and it will continue even at the end of this one. Because the Bible spoke of the new Jerusalem appearing from heaven. God is building. The only time God will stop building is when his glory is allowed to find expression. And so when he created the first earth, the Bible said that earth was judged. It said the earth was found in the state of chaos because God judged it. And the reason God judged it is because the prince that was allowed to bring administration to that world decided to go the way of rebellion. He no longer administered the glory correctly, because the glory should not come to you. The glory should go to God. The moment the glory begins to come to you, that civilization is invalid, because God can no longer be seen. You know, the Bible said he shall appear in his glory. That means when the glory is directed to him, then he can be seen. But the moment the glory is turned from God, they will see you, they won't see God. And so God can no longer appear. And when God no longer appears, that civilization becomes useless. And so what God does is that he begins to build again. And so after the first civilization was judged and God created the next civilization, he allowed Adam to rule it. But Adam didn't understand the business of immortals. The ancient prince came in the guise of a serpent. And it took, you know, when you find inventors, there is what they call a patent that gives them the right, the exclusive right to administer that invention. So the authority God gave to Adam was the power to seclude the earth from those princes. But Adam did not know that there were other princes like him in the realm of God. You know, when Paul came and Paul was given access into mysteries, the corridors of light, Paul began to tell us, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's an ancient battle going on. Princes have been at war from time immemorial. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are princes that are looking for territories to dominate. And if you understand the sequence of their operation, a principality is the first prince that shows up. And what a principality wants to do is to secure legitimacy for the other princes to come, because all princes are interested in is civilization, because they are in the business of glory. Before they fell, they knew the glory. The Bible spoke of Lucifer, the son of the morning. He said he moved to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. He did business in the first Eden before the second Eden was downloaded. He knew the ways of glory. The Bible said thy taps and thy tablets were in thee from the day of thy creation. So the job of this being was to coordinate worship in the Zions, the realms of Zion. So he knows the emotions of God. When God is being worshipped, he knows what to do. So because they understand the glory, only glory satisfies them. And so when the principalities are sent, they are trying to seize a civilization. And when they hijack a civilization, they take over the civilization. It becomes their possession. And they create citizens that will follow after their kind, their desires, and their nature. And so Paul began to give us insight that this world you are walking in is not about buying a car. In the realm of reality, they don't need cars. You need car because you are falling. If you like, buy a Lamborghini. It's a state of the fall. When an angel looks at you, he's laughing. Because he can go to heaven and come back before you drive out of your compound. There, they travel at the frequency of thought. An angel can go to Nigeria and come back now in less than a second. So when you say you are flying a private jet, a G450, you say this one, I bought it for $30 million. The angel is looking at you. Before the engine of the plane warms to get into the cloud, the angel have gone beyond the earth realm and come back and is looking at you. What are you doing? You are falling. You need a meta to float in a meta and feel important. That you are even wearing it, it means you are falling. What they are interested in is glory. And because you are falling, they can trade your soul with a car. It shows you how cheap mortals are. Mortals, they are cheap in the scale of balances. They can bargain your soul with 10 million pounds. And then you sell it and you are walking with a big wristwatch and a phone. You say you have arrived. That's why when sons come, they fight for civilization. They want to take the system because they want to insist that the glory of this world must become the glory of our God and of his Christ. That's the burden of sons. When a son comes into the United Kingdom, he's thinking of how to take over the systems so that they, in the House of Commons, they can come in the morning and say, Jesus is Lord. His goal is not to be called a member of parliament. No, that's not his body. That title is too mundane, because in Zion, he's a prophet. In Zion, he's an apostle. In Zion, he's a prince. You don't need to give him a title in the House of Commons for him to feel important. But when he goes to the House of Commons, he wants the name of Jesus to be glorified. And that's why he's going there. Because the business is the business of glory. so that God can be seen. God is obscured from our world. And so when God gave the earth to man, he threw it away because he didn't know the importance. He was chasing apples. He was interested in momentary gratification. I want to talk to you about the weapons of an ambassador. The weapons. The weapons. There are ammunitions that we carry in the spirit. Weapons. That's what makes us who we are. And so when you look at an ambassador, he doesn't need a car to validate himself. He has authority in realms yonder. When Pilate saw Jesus, he said, I have the power to release you. Jesus looked at him. You have power. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. You don't know me. When the army came to arrest him, they brought a legion. He said, you bring soldiers to arrest me. I was in the temple with you all day. And Peter took a knife. He said, no, don't fight. We have better weapons. I can ask my father now. And he will deploy 12 legions. 12 legions. Do you know the number of a legion? A legion. I don't have time to enter certain things. We will be lost. He will deploy 12 legions of angels now. Meanwhile, when you study the scripture in Isaiah 37, one angel walked through the camp. One. In one night. Not in one year. He walked through the camp because there was a hidden king that came to defy the army of God. In fact, he said, have you not heard of my fame? The nations I went to, they trembled. Their God couldn't save them. And when Hezekiah was trembled, he said, don't cry. One arrow will not be thrown in this nation. We don't need to fight with weapons. And one angel walked through the camp and 185,000 soldiers were slain in one night. Meanwhile, Jesus said, if I ask the Father, he will deploy 12 legions. If one angel slays 185,000, if 12 legions come, meanwhile, what Jesus was referencing there is a weapon. It's called intimacy. He didn't say, I will pray to God. He said, I will pray to the Father. There is relationship. It's intimacy. Those are the riches of intimacy. That's why when we say pray, you think prayer is about give me admission, give me bread. No, prayer is a journey. There's a place you get to in intimacy that God whispers into your ears. He whispers. At that level, what you need is not a car. You can change the fortune of the economy with one word. That's the power Jesus was invoking. They are called the weapons of an ambassador. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Civilizations. I'm saying all of this to let you know why God is moving. Because I told you, when God is moving, it's because he wants to build. When the first earth was destroyed, he said darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1 verse 2. And he said the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep. And God said, light appear. When God is moving, he is building. And so when we are talking revival, it's because an edifice has collapsed. And God is building again. I spoke in parables. You know, when you start the job of building Zion, a point will come where fame will come, power will come, influence will come. If you are not careful, you will leave Zion and start building Babel. And so the reason God is building again is because what we have now is no longer Zion, it's Babel. So the revival we are talking about, on one side is judgment. On another side is a building project going on. And before God builds a civilization, he will build the men. Yes, sir. This is why I'm speaking about the weapons of ambassadors. Yes, if you want to feature in this civilization God is building, there are badges that you will carry. You will possess those badges in the spirit. Those badges are the things that will determine your rank in the world that is to come. Because church is not a place of excitement. It's called the ecclesia. That's where laws come out from. He said, out of Zion proceed the law. And so the people who are in church are men who understand how to wield scepters. We know the game of authority. We know the game of laws. We know the foundations of civilization. We know the powers of utterance, because we have been tampered with by the Holy Spirit. We are not an exciting people. Sometimes we shout, but even when we are shouting, I told you, it's not out of excitement. We want to collapse Jericho. Yes, sir. Everything we do in Zion has a purpose that is deeper than the moment. A man without understanding can interpret it based on the moment. But when a man of understanding shows up, he will know the reason people are, these guys are carrying flags. It's not because they want to appear in a strange way. It's because they are taking over nations. They know. When wise men come, they look deep. They look deep. It's deeper. So I turned, I saw the flag of Israel. I said, these are wise men. Because nations are born on the altar. They are not born in the parliament. The parliament is where it's concluded. But it's as soon as Zion travails that she brings forth her children. And so some of you here, you may be 14 years old, but you are a nation builder. Because when you are on the altar, those 3 hours of groaning, what you are adding to the foundation of the nation may be righteousness. That's your own part. And maybe the nation God is building, righteousness is the foundation. And so when they start, you are praying for 5 hours. You are an architecture. You are putting righteousness there. And somebody else may be putting the fear of the Lord. The fear. And so when it comes to prayer, you find him lying on the floor crying. And you are wondering, why is your prayer always tears and travail? Is because of the kind of block I'm introducing. You may be introducing righteousness. I am introducing the fear of the Lord. And so the angel that is building with you, he will not allow you pray until you weep. Others may come and pray in capital letter tongues. You, when you want to pray, you start groaning. When you want to pray, you start crying. And then you are wondering, why can't I pray in tongues? Your impute in that civilization is the fear of God. And every time men fear God, they are broken. And so the angel that is building with you, we insist that you are broken before you can pray. And so you can come, you will not find utterance. The worship is going on when you have wept for 40 minutes. That's when you can say, Haya kaka, haya, haya. Your prayer is finished. You are a builder. God is building Zion, so that his glory can appear. Because what we are seeing now is Babel. When you show up in church, it's show. It's titles. It's connection. It's vanity. And so, how can God appear? The men have become too bogus. And so, they have blocked every vent that should pipe out the Holy Spirit. Human ambition are the biggest blocks in the church. The bishop wants to save money for his great-grandchildren. Meanwhile, what he doesn't know is that the business is not a business of money. It's a business of the glory. And it's a transaction of souls. And so he left glory and is attending to money. The apostles knew it. They say it's not meet for us to give ourselves to tables. No. That's not our assignment. And so when Zion is lost and Babel replaces Zion, God will build again. And the men that God will approve of, they have badges. And these are some of the badges I want to share with you tonight. I pray that God will help us. Because I'm also in the process. Don't assume that this is one ancient man coming to. I may be in class 1. God just showed it so that we can share it and run with it. You know, when they wanted to defeat, Jehoshaphat wanted to defeat Ammon, Mount Seir, and Moab. The person who prophesied was also part of Israel. When he finished prophesying, all of them were going to the battlefield. You get. So don't assume that God has finished with this man. Some of you may be my senior in the process. But God just asked me to say it so that we can find the blueprint and know the things that matter. Because they are badges. They are badges. I will start with the first one. The first badge or the first weapon of an ambassador is life. These are organic economies. Highly organic. And everything we do, if it doesn't begin with life, is a joke. And you know the way life functions. Life sometimes can be so quiet, but the operation is very loud. And so you can be sitting here now, and you are pressed. And nobody around you is aware, but there is chaos in your system. You are dying. That's how life talks. The way life talks is that it networks itself into you and controls you. It's a government. You can be here now and you are thirsty and you feel like dying. Or you are hungry and nothing makes sense anymore. Nobody may be aware, but in your spirit is a trumpet. Something is shouting on your inside. That's how life functions. And until you obey it, you can't do anything else. And so when God introduces you into the equation of life, what he wants to do is to possess you. Because the reason you do what you do is not primarily because you are brainwashed. It's because there's a kind of life that is at work on your inside. In John chapter 8 verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And he said, the lust of your father shall ye do. That means no matter the education you give to these people, they cannot but function like the devil. Because their DNA will betray all their efforts. They can apply discipline. They can apply principles. But because the DNA is primarily of the devil, they cannot but do the lust of their father. And so when God wants to raise a generation, the first thing he does is that he inserts life into them. It's an inoculation process that awakens you to the realm of God. And so in 1 John chapter 5, from verse 11 to verse 13, the Bible began to tell us, because the original builder is Christ. But Christ needs to be extended into you, because Christ will need your vocal cord. When Christ wants to build by talking, he will need somebody. When Christ wants to build by giving, he will need somebody. And the only way he will be sure that the integrity of the building will remain intact is to vet it with his life. And so he said, the life is in the Son. And he said, whoever has the Son has life. But the moment this life enters you, it's not just to give you food. The moment the life enters you, it becomes a law in your soul. And so when Paul wanted to build the house of God, he discovered that there was crisis in his members. And he came to a point, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of corruption? He discovered that he was already trained by another system. He discovered the orientation he had was different from the orientation of heaven. And he was trying to please God with his strength, because he was a scholar. He read law. And he was trained by the best. He was an orator. When he speaks, it's like a God is talking. And he thought his oratory will be part of what God was using. But you see, in the economy of life, your natural advantage becomes your greatest disadvantage. Wow. You may come to church and you are an orator. And when God looks at you, he discovers that there is high-mindedness in you. And that high-mindedness will make you corrupt the building. So what he will do is that, even though you are the best speaker, he will tell you to go and be the usher. Stand at the door and welcome people. Because life will insist that everything that is alien is a quality control system in the spirit. Everything that is alien to God, life will fight it. And until that thing is destroyed, you can't participate. You may quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God is not looking for scripture quotas. Because the scripture came from heaven. He's not looking for those who impress him with scriptures. He's looking for those that can reflect his image. And so when life comes with a governing system. Your oratory will be put aside for 7 years. And God will make sure he deals with the high-mindedness. Some is covetousness. God will look at it. He won't say anything. In fact, you can even go and create a blog for yourself on Instagram. You will post things there for 4 years. Nobody will look at it. Your uncle can be a senator or a mayor, and he will give you a slot on the national television. The day you come to sing, nobody will tune in. And you will be asking all your friends, did you hear me yesterday? They say, sorry, I slept off. The government of life will make sure that everything you do is frustrated until God tames the flesh. This is what Paul discovered. And so when he discovered that This is not about natural ability. He rested in the Holy Ghost. And he said in Romans chapter 8 verse 2, he said the law. Now, this is not just a reality. This is now a law, because it will insist. Laws don't bend. If you jump now, you will come down. He said the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that law have set me free from the law of sin and death. That means what makes you function the way you were functioning. It's not about what you read. It's about the other law that was at work in you. And that law is called the law of death. And so when God wants to give you a badge among those who will participate in the world that is to come, he will turn your eyes away from your charisma. Because the energy you require is not in the flesh. He will turn you into the government of life. And when life comes, life will break you. Ah, life will break you. You will fight, but it will break you. That is the only kind of prayer God does not answer. You can cry all night, his ears will be deaf. Because what he's doing is that he is breaking and forming. He's breaking and forming. Because until you attain the specification, you will become an alien in Zion. The reason you find a building is not because of the shapes of the blocks. It's because of the chiseling of the architect. And so there are certain blocks that their shape becomes a cancer. So they will cut it off. It's only half that can enter the building. Because when God is building, there are different dimensions. He will look at you and discover, oh, you talk too much. It's not a sin, but it's a weight. And so life will come. And the way God will do it is that he will open up a technology in your spirit. I was sharing with God's servant earlier. You know, when you enter into life, the first thing you find is the joy of the Holy Ghost. You are excited about God. The joy overwhelms you. Nothing moves you anymore. The reason is because God is trying to bring you into an educational syllabus. That now you are not of this world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. And so people can tell you they are playing Champions League finals in Wembley. Okay. They are hoping you will shout. Okay. Well done. Are you not going? I've got my ticket. Goodbye. And the person will be shocked. How come you are not moved? The problem is that I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I've entered another frequency. The joy of the Holy Ghost begins to power you. Now, this is what David understood in the Old Testament. He said, take not thy spirit from within me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. When Jesus brings life, it comes with joy. But after a while, you will discover that joy will become hunger for the presence of God. You hear there's a Bible study, you are there for 10 hours, you are not tired. You leave one meeting, you go to another meeting. Sometimes in one day, you are on 3 different prayers online. You finish 1 hour, you enter 3 hours, you come back to 1 hour. And they are wondering, how are you surviving? Sometimes when you finish a long service, you now go home and do a vigil. And this vigil, you are alone in your room. And you are singing. You thought you sang 2 songs. The next time you checked, it's 5 a.m. Ah, how come? Is the night shorter? No, the night is not shorter. You have entered another economy. It's called hunger. And you see, when you enter the presence of God, it's the realm eternal. There's no time there. You know, when Moses ascended Sinai, he thought it was for a few hours. When he came down, he discovered he had been there for 40 days. What happened? You stepped out of time. Because the presence of God excludes time. The energy and the intensity there is so much that time is compressed. And so when hunger overwhelms you, your destination is the presence. This is why all of a sudden, divine things become natural to you. God is sucking you out of the ethereal. He's sucking you out. Because the traditions of men have chiseled you so deeply. The customs of men have truncated and mutilated your soul structure. And the only thing God will do is that he needs to suck you from earth and take you back to the studio of eternity where you were created. You know, when God said, let us make man, he wasn't in heaven. Creation is not done in creation. Creation is done outside creation. If you are already in creation, you can't create. You can only form. So when God said, let us make man. (Laughs) in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, when Jesus resurrected, he didn't go to heaven. The Bible said he went high above all heavens. That realm is what Paul called the dwelling of light. He said no man can approach it. The energy there will melt anything that comes close. That's where God creates from. And so what God does is that when he begins to suck you through hunger, he's bringing you back to the studio where you were coupled. The psalmist said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. There is somewhere God sits and creates the spiritual DNA of a man. And so what hunger is trying to do is to suck you out. And so even though you were born into a Chelsea family, you now return from Zion and you discover the love for Chelsea is dead. Nobody counseled you. You went somewhere. It's like radiation. When they want to deal with cancer, they expose cancer to light. The radiation will kill the cell and restructure a new order of cell. That's what hunger does. And so that hunger, pursuit of God through scripture and prayer, is because God is sucking you. He's sucking you. He's sucking you. And sometimes when he wants to add some flavor, he gives you angelic encounters. And so you are praying in your room, suddenly you find out that your hand become hot. You are saying, what's the meaning of this? There's no meaning to it. God is using it to draw you to the presence. And so you will use 4 years to understand what is happening in your hand. Nothing is happening. It's to keep you on the altar. Because God knows your fascination. Sometimes you are praying and you open your light and you see light standing. You now say, oh, I've become a prophet. It has nothing to do with title. He's sucking you. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, he said, he has made us to become partakers of the divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the way God makes you to escape the corruption, he knows that nobody can advise you. You are so intelligent. If they say A, you say B. Even when they use scripture, you are a theologian. If they explain it, you will enter Greek and enter Hebrew and counter the person talking. And so because God knows you are too wise, he will bring you before the immortals. There you can't speak because everything is bare. You know, Isaiah the prophet was so smart. What God wanted him to do was to prophesy about the Messiah. But his tongue was in error and nobody could correct him. And so he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his glory filled the temple. And suddenly, nobody spoke. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe unto me, I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. How did he discover? He had come into the light that knows no corruption. But it's hunger that takes you there. It's a journey of the wooing of the Spirit. God woos you. He sucks you into himself. Without your will, he sucks you. And you discover for 7 months, all you do is tongues. Maikaya. Hialaboa rakado. Zanak natila vahakata. Heolele asuna. Mea karoate. Agavamana. Arianataya. Oaketaya. God is forming his man. Oh, and for those of you who are warriors, you know that is where the shape you sustain in the spirit is giving you. When you find those who are warriors, they will enter the room of fire. Yes. See, prophet can enter the room of light, but warring intercessors is fire. Because when you return, you will fight. You will fight. So they will carry you through flames, immortal flames, and your tongue will be altered. The next time you come back, when you prophesy, you will judge nations. And people who are still on earth will carry doctrine and say, we are in the era of new creation. There's no cause. There's no judgment. You didn't know where the person went to. He came from a realm yonder. And in that realm, the only thing that bothers him is the jealousy of God. And so if a nation is against God, that nation will be judged. So that a way will be paved for the glory to appear, because God is building. I wish you understood what I'm sharing. You will now guide your prayer life with all your life. Because you will know that this prayer you are praying, it may not be like this forever. What is happening to you is that God is sucking you. That's why you pray for 8 hours, you are not tired.
The more you pray, the stronger you become. Ask those that are not being sucked if it's easy to pray for 4 hours. There is an economy around you. And when men are not aware, when that spirit is drawing them, they will say, wait, let me watch this movie. Ah, that's the wrong time to watch a movie. I want to go to this club and come back. I will pray tomorrow. You are not aware that you are in a class. The class of summons. And what is happening on your inside is more ancient than you. It's more ancient. When God wants to open your eyes, sometimes when you enter your room to pray, he will show you that many days before you come, an angel is waiting for you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That angel is the one that invites you. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet. You see, as I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. Most of those wooing of the spirit is not because you are wise. It's because you are being summoned. And when you are summoned, you are drawn to the presence. Because God is putting something on your inside. He's planting something. Because when the revival comes, you may need to appear as a warrior. When the revival comes, you may need to appear as a prophet. When the revival comes, you may need to appear as a giver. And the wisdom you need to get wealth is in the studio. And if you don't come long enough, you will lack wisdom in the way the days when men make money. Some of you, what you need is influence, so that when you stand, a nation will love you. They won't even know why. You come up to speak and all the youths are singing your name. And they, because where you went to, they put a perfume on you. They put influence on you, so that in the days of the revival, you will become a mayor of your city. Because God wants to raise another prime minister that will change the laws to favor the church. And so they are summoning you there to give you the fragrances. The fragrances. The fragrances that opens the corridors. Because somebody needs to recommend you to somebody for the door to open. But you didn't go enough to be perfumed. And so when revival begins, instead of entering by influence, you will compromise. Because you didn't have enough perfume. And when the oil finish, you will be under pressure to compromise. And so the man that should change the nation becomes the man the devil uses. Because when the devil comes, he's looking for those that will run out of oil. He will look for those that will run out of perfume. And so God made it in a way that, you know, God dwells in light. And those of us who study light, we know that light comes in packets. If you have done quantum chemistry, you will know that light is dispatched in quanta. And so God will give those packets. Sometimes it will take 2 years for the quorum, the measure to be attained. But you came for 3 months. When revival begins, God can use you. Because you will compromise. When the measure is exhausted, you will look for another thing. And that is why many embrace another God in the place of the God of heaven. Hunger is a technology of the spirit to refill you. Because God is building Zion. And when God builds Zion, you will discover he doesn't use blocks. He used stones. He used stones. Stones. And you know, stones, you can't modify them. You will be formed in the fire. And when you come out, you will sustain your texture. They will fix you into Zion. Because what God builds Zion with are men. But those men have been tried. And you are tried in the studio. You are not tried by the title you choose. You are tried by how far you travel in the flames of fire. The fire that purges. The fire that purifies. The fire that casts men. They are so cast that they can no longer compromise. For me to perish, I will perish. O King, live forever. But we will not bow to this. We will not bow. Make the fire 7 times hotter. We will not bow. We will never bow. The reason is because even if we want to, we can't. We have been shaped. We have been cast in the furnace. We can't change our confession anymore. We can't bow. When we went there, we were tempered with. We were textured. This is what God built Zion with. All of this is the economy of life. But many truncate it. Oh, they truncate it. That's why the men of God are few. They are few because they are not taught
They are not taught the ways of pains. They are not taught the pathways of suffering. That they are the refiner's fire that God carries men through. And the reason God is doing it is because of what he's doing. And you cannot even look at another man's process. Somebody can have his own in 2 years. Yours may be 7 years. The reason is because the weight and the texture of the block at the foundation is different from the block in the middle of the building. The ones that carry weight, they are well textured. They can't be the same. And so when life is dealing with you as a government, sometimes you will cry. When you finish crying, God will encourage you, but he won't change the situation. He won't change it. And so at that point, the only thing you are mindful of is your hunger. Everything fails, but your hunger is intact. You say, Lord, 1,000 times, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you again and again and again. I choose you. If it's not for me, because of my generation, I choose you. I will not back down. I know I'm at the furnace now. The blacksmith is walking because he wants the edge of the blade to be sharp. So he put you in the fire until you melt, and he won't take you out because you must be hammered into shape. If you are a blade, you will be sharpened. And for that to happen, you will be melted. And so while you go through the furnace, you will still choose him. If they teach you this garbage called prosperity, when life begins to work with you, if it moves from the joy of salvation to hunger, you will escape. Because sometimes hunger will cause, the way God will test you is that he will allow you to go through suffering to find out the integrity of what is building. But if they don't teach you kingdom, you will run. Because all they taught you is ask God for bread. Ask God for wine. Such people can't build the nation. If you're giving land to such people, they will compromise 1,000,000 times. But if there is a generation where the glory of God will appear, then men that life has taught, the protocol of the spirit must be born. I wish I had time to tell you my story. For 7 years, after leaving the university, I had scholarships out of the country. Don't move. Why? I'm an only son. Do you know what that pressure means in Africa? My father is retired. I am an only son. The only option I have was to remain in Makurdi. And I was there for 7 years. What was I doing? I was teaching and earning 20,000 naira. You know how much that is? 20,000. $1 is about 630 naira now. Then it used to be 400 naira. That means 20,000 is less than 20,000 is about 45 pounds or 50 pounds thereabout. That's what I was earning for 1 month. And God kept encouraging me to study. I had to do my master's degree with 50 pounds. I finished master's degree. I enrolled for PhD with 50 pounds. You know what that means? You don't have the luxury to buy a new shoe. But it's called the furnace of fire. The furnace. I couldn't deny the voice I was hearing. Because when you thrive in hunger, God will now bring you to the corridor of faith. In the corridor of faith, you no longer look at the natural things. He begins to teach you another way. Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal. But the things that are unseen, they are what? Eternal. So the light affliction, he called it, he said, our light affliction are but for a moment. Do you know what Paul called the light affliction? It's to be flogged 39 times. That's what he called light affliction. Is to be put in prison. That's what he called light affliction. The Bible said a day and a half, Paul was left in the deep. He was under the water for 1.5 days. But you know, in that studio, a lot of things happened to you. So Paul was no longer an ordinary man. He became aquatic. And so for 1.5 days, he knew how to survive under the water. The pain became a technology. See, when we talk about authority in the kingdom, it's not about what you read in the Bible. Two people can quote the same scripture, the impact will be worlds apart.
Because when a man who has stayed under the belly of the water for 1.5 days talking, he knows the mercy of God beyond the scripture you are quoting. He knows how to survive where there's no oxygen. Paul was stoned to death when the people left. He said the church surrounded him. As they began to pray, he stood up. The moment he stood up, he said, let's go to the next city. He has mastered pain. So Paul can do missions with injury. It's not this type of missions where you want to sleep in a 5-star hotel. No, you can't go to Afghanistan. And when England becomes hostile, you will run back to Africa. The man who can rise up from the dead without asking which hospital is here, he said, let's go to the next city. Why? Because he said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That means, let me be cursed if I don't preach the gospel. If he comes back from the dead, he will go back to mission. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because absence from the body is presence with the Lord. What Paul was saying is not quoting a scripture. When Paul was in the belly of the water for 1.5 days, he left his body. But when he left his body, he discovered there is somewhere beyond death. That's the dwelling of light. So when he said absence from the body is presence with the Lord, he found another gateway through death. He knew that death is not the end. That those who are immortal, when death comes, it becomes a doorway to another dimension. But all of that was in the corridor of life. He learned things that he was not taught in his school. He said, I know a man many years ago. Whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh, I can't tell. He said, but that man was carried to the third heavens. How did you know there were three heavens? Those were the pathways of sojourn. He traveled beyond the first heaven. He entered the second heaven. And he went to where the throne of God dwells. And he didn't stop there. He said he was carried to paradise. And he saw things that were unlawful to be uttered among men. If it's unlawful for men to hear, then who is Paul? If men shouldn't hear, then who is Paul? I'm telling you about things that are deeper than Titus. When God wants to build Zion, he raises ambassadors. He raises ambassadors. And ambassadors have weapons. They have credentials. These are the kind of men that three of them can enter a city. And you will not know why they came. But in the night, when others are sleeping, they will go to the gates. And they will command the gates to open. They may not organize a crusade. They will speak to the gates. When the gates open, they will return. Come back to that city in 3 months. You will see that a revival has taken place. You may never know, but ambassadors came. They came at night. And when they came, they searched for the rhythm of the spirit. They know where the princes locked the gate. And they went there to open it. If they open the gate, even a child can start an evangelical ministry. And that child may be gathering 10,000 people and say, we are anointed. We are anointed. No, sir. You are not anointed. Ambassadors came before you came. Hope you know, when Jesus sent out the 70, they returned and said, demons were subject to us. He looked at them and laughed. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I went ahead of you in the spirit. But if you don't know pains, you can't even stand up when the Holy Ghost moves. You journey from hunger to faith. God teaches you how to survive without the natural. He separates you. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, he said John was in the wilderness until the day. You see now, some creatures have begun to come here. Some creatures have begun to come here. These are gatekeepers. They are gatekeepers. Some gatekeepers have begun to come. Because some of the things we are sharing, they are not ordinary messages. I'm keeping my spirit calm so that I can talk. Because if I ascend, I wouldn't even have reached here. But I tell you by the spirit, gatekeepers are about to be born from among you. Oh man, some of you will know, you will know. You will just know what to do. You will know the prayers. Even the prayer to pray, utterance will be given to you. Because you don't pray because you know the Bible. You pray because he is dictated. He said, the hand of the Lord came upon me. He carried me to the valley of dry bones. And he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Those are the powers of the heavens. We hear.
We worship you. We hail you, Most High. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Most High. We hail you. We hail you.
The energy to be too intense, but please, you have to forgive me. As I'm talking, from now going forward, ordinations will begin to be activated. In a church, we are not members, we are representatives of different constituencies. And so when we gather, there are those who represent the constituency of sounds. Those are the ones that watch over creation. Because it takes sounds for spirits to travel. When we gather, there are those who are from the constituency of wisdom. They are light bearers. Those are the ones that bring the laws of Zion. We are not the same. And so as we speak, equippings take place. There are three people that you will bring for me now. They are gatekeepers. They are gatekeepers. I came to activate ordinations and dimensions. There are immortal dimensions in your spirit. You are not a singer. You are a witness. Who told you are a singer? There are many singers in the world. No, we are not singers. We are witnesses. Some of us witness through sound.
We hail you, we hail you. We hail you, hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Most High. So river flow, let it on a river flow in your church once again. Let it on it be seen. River flow. Let it on a river flow in your church once again. Let it on it be seen.
I'm sorry. You know, I stopped teaching mysteries. Because I realized people were not mature to handle it. And even when I try to teach it, I keep the service so calm because people are too excited. The things I'm telling you, they are called the burdens of the Lord. They are weights. They are weights. If you carry it, you know. Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible said God spoke to Ezekiel. It's a lie on one side for 390 days and intercede for Israel. And he said, when you are done, turn to your right and lie for 40 days. This is not a joke. This is how Zion is built. But for you to sustain that capacity in the spirit, it's only life that can power you. And that life will teach you a language that is not taught in the Bible school. Many times, that life will teach you self-denial. You will forgo everything. You think nations are born casually? It takes travails of the spirit.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
You know, there are 7 badges of an ambassador. I'm just talking about life. I've not even exhausted it. Meanwhile, some of you that are already on this path, I may not complete the message, because the fourth seal is actually priesthood. Priesthood, the business of the altar. I've not reached there, but as I'm talking, I'm seeing a scepter towards my right. And he said, it's the power of priesthood. That means these ones have journeyed that far. And so I respect this fellowship. Priests and priestesses of the altar, now I call you forth. Wherever you are, every priest, every priestess, take your scepter now. Take your scepter now. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Apostolic doctrine. Apostolic doctrine. You build men. It's not fun. So that you can understand your process. You can now interpret the things happening around your life. Why some of you applied for the university and for 4 years you were not admitted? Because God is not sending you to the university to take a certificate. He was sending you there at a Kairos season to become part of a revival. And so those 4 years were for preparation. Because when you enter the university, there will be a move of God. And you are supposed to be a priest. So they stopped you for 4 years. Because it's not about, oh man. The scepter is hovering. We are the priests of the altar. Your ordination is priesthood. Take that mantle.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.